if you want to go on a date with a woman, you say, hi, I want to take you out on a date.
Period.
Yeah, nothing crazy. But you have to mention verbatim, I want to take you out on a date.
That's beautiful.
Not like, I want to hang some time or get coffee or go for... No, I want to take you out on a date.
Amen.
Because that is intentionality. Because anything else, and not for yourself, but even for the opposite sex, you don't want that other person to assume like, is this a date? Is this not a date? Like, you have to be able to at least give them that safety.
When you read scripture, you want to know that you're reading with the mind of the church. Verbum helps you read scripture in the light of the tradition by putting the magisterion within reach on all of your devices. Connect your daily scripture readings with the catechism, church fathers, and Catholic commentaries. Access a world-class Catholic library on all of your devices. Pray through scripture with step-by-step instructions on Lectio Divina. Right now, listeners of a Reason for Hope podcast can get started with Verbum with an extra free month. Take your spiritual reading, journaling, and studying to the next level with Verbum. To get started for free, visit the link above or below in the description. Are you looking for a comfortable brown scapular that won't break? Check out our sponsor, scapulars.com. They use American-made paracord, so it's super strong. And they also use Australian merino wool, so it's super comfortable. It feels like you're getting a warm hug from your heavenly mother. Click on the link above or below in the description and get yourself the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to A Reason for Hope podcast. We are back. We're here with Matt Panna. What's up, Matt? We're here with myself, Alanis, and we're just diving deeper into this concept of the both and. Specifically, we're talking about dating this time, which is a topic I'm excited about.
Yeah.
I really, especially in the beginning half of this, I don't really know where the Holy Spirit's going to lead this, but I want to focus in on first dates because there seems to be a lot of extremism in that department, right? Some people view it as something that's so important. Like, if I start dating this person, then I'm pigeonholed and I'm going to have to propose to them. Or other people view it as it's not a big deal and I can date like 20 people at a time because first dates aren't important, right? So we're just going to be chatting about the balance in the middle ground as we do all things. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have any initial thoughts on this phenomenon?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because you have, the one camp where it's like, oh, I date one person and I'm done. And that's just kind of how they view dating. Or it's the other way around where it's like, I could just be social and, you know, not have any commitments, or I could kind of spread myself thin socially because I want to like save, you know, my options or whatever. And I think it's both categories. And I love how TOB is kind of permeated through our discussions here where it's like, you forget the dignity of the human person either way.
Right.
Or it's like, if you kind of pigeonhole yourself as, okay, this is the one person I'm dating, you don't see them as a human being. You see them as like, this is fulfilling the need for a partner I have, for example. Or if you're dating around too much and you don't have any expectations, you're kind of casually dating over the top, it's like, okay, where these people are just a means to an end for you to some degree, right? So I think both sides of the coin fail to recognize the human dignity of the person normally.
And I think that's what we fail to recognize no matter what direction this date ends up in, going in. The one thing that you are guaranteed is an encounter with another human being. And that's a beautiful thing, whether it's in a romantic sense, a friendly sense, or you just don't really want to get to know them after this. But you get to encounter them and receive them in that moment and ask them questions and just be present with them. And I think that's something that's not talked about enough. And that's just like the basic foundation of a date. That's like what happens on a date.
Especially
encounter.
Being present, because I feel oftentimes if you're in this kind of dating structure, you're dating a lot, you're putting yourself out there again or whatever that might be. You fail to realize, oh, I should just be present to the person in front of me right now and just like talk to them and not think about, oh, my next date or what's going to happen if we're going to like, you know, date 4, 5, 6, 11 dates after this. Are we going to get married anytime soon? I think just being present literally with the person in front of you and just having that conversation, getting to know them human to human, child to God is so important.
Amen. Yeah. There's a lot of pressure from both our secular culture and also our Catholic culture, believe it or not.
For sure.
Maybe even more so our Catholic culture, honestly. Mm-hmm. I remember going and visiting Franciscan University. Maybe I shouldn't shout them out because I learned this new phrase there. It's the 669. Have you heard of that?
No. Whoa, what's that?
Okay, so the whole premise is that you date someone for 6 months, you're engaged for 6 months, and then 9 months later you have a baby. So
there's
it's like a really strict timeline.
Yeah.
And so I was asking some students there, because I was just getting to know a few of them for the job that I was at, how the dating culture was. And they told me about this and just how scary it is.
It's a lot of pressure
knowing,
for a person, guy or girl, it's still a lot of pressure.
Without a doubt. There's just so much pressure to it, because it's like, okay, we've been dating for 3 months. That means like 3 months later, we have to get engaged, even if we haven't properly discerned this,
if
I don't think this is the right person for me. So it's just scary. And then the other side, with the secular culture, we live in such a Disney, like we grew up with Disney and fairy tales and whatnot. So you would assume that like you would meet your Prince Charming and right away he's the one, and there's no problems there. And so again, that pressure is added, and you think that, well, I guess if I go on one date, like my expectation is that this person has to be the one or he's not the one. And that's scary. That's scary to come.
I love the perspectives here, because I think the feminine and the masculine are going to come into play now, because you mentioned, you know, Disney fantasies, and that could be more of a female perspective, and maybe male to some degree too. But when I think of like that male perspective on dating, I think of like shows like sitcoms like How I Met Your Mother, and when there's like the wife is going to be someone, or the mother is going to be someone he's going to meet in the future, and we're all aiming for that. And you forget like there's a process along the way to get to that point, right? So I think we envision things maybe differently. We all have the same end goal, but maybe men and women kind of envision things a little bit differently.
Without
in dating.
A doubt.
Yeah. So how's your dating experience been, both in the Catholic context or just as a woman? Speak to your experience about that.
Yeah. I can actually give an example. I'm in a relationship right now.
Oh, praise God.
And it's interesting that I always viewed relationships, at least for the past like 3-4 years, because I was just like super into Christopher West Dating Talks and Jason Ever and Matt Frad and all of those guys.
So
I was
great,
like,
by the way,
yeah, they're awesome. And I'm like, I'm a relationship pro by now. Newsflash, I was not, but I thought I was. And I was like, yeah, first dates aren't a big deal. So I can, you know, not casually date, but I can go on a dating season and get to know people. And like I said, encounter them. And so that's what I was doing for a little bit. And that's how I view dating for some time. And I don't think that's bad. I think that's actually a really healthy approach to dating. But my boyfriend, he is someone who really seeks the Lord with every decision. And some people may think that isn't the greatest, because analysis paralysis can hit in. But I don't know. I've really been convicted that it's so beautiful, because when you seek the heart of the Lord, he comes through. And so there shouldn't be any analysis paralysis unless you're not seeking the heart of the Lord correctly.
Well, I think also it's a temptation for a lot of Catholics in general, that analysis paralysis of like, you forget to surrender. Like, surrender is a big part of our conversation so far. You forget to surrender. And if you really truly have faith, that analysis may not come into play, because you're really surrendering everything to the Lord. So it's really cool you're able to find somebody who's able to have that kind of undercurrent in their everyday, seems like their everyday life. Right?
Yeah, without a doubt. And he's taught me so much about that. But when he first reached out to me, I didn't know this, but he actually fasted during Lent.
Oh, Catholic goals. Okay.
I know. Nice. He reached out during Easter. And I found out that like during around like the 40 days of Lent, he actually fasted to see if this was the Lord's will. And he really felt convicted that the Lord wanted him to do that. Lo and behold, if he reached out sooner, it wouldn't have worked out, because I was in my dating season and I was like getting to know someone.
Happens.
So out of honor, I wouldn't have reached out. So that's like the conviction he felt from the Lord. Like, surrender this to me, wait these 40 days. And, you know, if it's my will, then it'll happen. So I think that was beautiful, because he discerned it. But other people, they view the first date as something that they have to pray like a 54-day novena to
That pressure is like not healthy, just on a mental standpoint, putting all that anxiety and pressure, not only on yourself, but on another person.
Yeah. So I wouldn't advise that approach for everyone unless you feel that like severe conviction from
the
Father.
But you could tell I'm assuming, right, he has a spiritual life. And he has that open. He probably has either a community or a spiritual director or some normal Catholic guys or normal men in general don't fast that many days unless they have some sort of spiritual life and component to them, right? So it is admirable that he was able to do it in a very healthy way. And it wasn't like, and a lot of this is the typical Catholic guilt of obligation, like, oh, I got to do these things, right?
Yeah.
But if he chooses the goodness and kindness of his soul, that's a completely different thing altogether.
I agree. Yeah. So just even like zooming outside of my own relationship.
Yeah.
When it comes to dating, I guess the two extremes that we're really tackling at is that like the person who wants to pray a 54-day novena to get a sign, like you can ask this girl out on a date.
Yeah.
Or the person who's like, I'm just going to ask out you know, every single person in this friend group out on a date because it's not that serious.
Yeah,
what's been your experience?
I think it's both sides have their limitations. And also, I keep going back to this where you don't see the human person through it all. So, for example, like if you're constantly dating a circle of friends or communities, like, I got to find somebody right away. That one spiritually is not healthy because mm-hmm. you're just not trusting or surrendering, you know, to God. Your faith is lacking in that sense to some degree. But if also, if you're doing that too, you're not respecting the people that you're surrounded with because you're seeing them as a means to an end. I got to find a partner and I'll be happy and I'm done. And you talk to people, speak to people that are married with kids, you know, large families. When you find the partner, that's the beginning of your vocation. That's the beginning of your life. You're not like, okay, I found my partner. I'm done. You know, that's not right. It. So, and on the other side of the coin too, it was what you said it was the mm-hmm. casual dating and then what the putting all your chips into one first date.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Cause God forbid, you know, you may not get the Catholic, you know, bat 1,000, you know what I mean? You might not be able to get that one experience where that person wants, and who knows, maybe the person you're seeing might be on the casual side and you're putting a lot of undue pressure and stress on them. So I think mm-hmm. you have to kind of see the person, and to get away from that or to prevent that from happening, if you just know the person as a person. And one thing that I've learned in my dating experiences now too, is just seeing them as a child of God or just as a human being. This might be a temptation to some degree too, where I try to see the person across the table from me as a potential best friend because you see them as a human being first. You're not, as a guy, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to put a ring on it and do all the things I'm supposed to do. Like, no,
yeah.
And it's beautiful to have that need for a vocation for marriage and mm-hmm. to provide, pastor, provider, protector. That's what my dad always kind of taught us as kids, as a Catholics. But just going into that situation and just being like, oh, this can be potentially my best friend. The drawback to that, to some degree, is over-detachment, or we don't want to overly detach ourselves from these out. You want to be able to have, you know, some direction in getting to know a person, but mm-hmm. just seeing them as a human being, as a potential best friend, that removes a lot of that, like, the fantasy worlds, whether it be How I Met Your Mother or Disney, removes a lot of that fantasy tension, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And just, if you could see them as a person and focus on the friendship first before, because those are the best relationships. They permeate from a solid friendship.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I empathize because I'm sure as a man, the pressure is maybe a little bit more severe because you're the pursuer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just the receiver.
Interesting.
Not just the receiver.
Yeah,
it takes
a
lot of effort to receive. It's like a dance. Like you have to like partner in that.
Amen to that.
And there's still discernment in receiving, but I don't know. Have you like felt the pressure whenever you have discerned to pursue someone? Have you felt that even temptation to like overly discern, or have you leaned more towards the casual side, or do you have balance?
I think, well, now I could safely say I have balance now, but I think before when I had my reversion and you get into the Catholic world of things and like the Catholic dating community or just the community, young adult community in general, it's like, oh, everyone here is dating and married and has all the things. I got to do the thing right away.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't think is a calling from the Lord. I think that's an anxiety. That's a negative self-talk thing I keep bringing up. It's not a calling from the Lord. But I think mm-hmm. for me, when you really strip away the desperation maybe. And honestly, what guys or girls, and I've been in young adult community for a while now, men and women could kind of sense desperation from a person in terms of like, hey, that social, like, hey, what's going on, guys? Like, people could sense that sense of social anxiety or desperation.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we all suffer from our own things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be unempathetic here, but I think if you trust in the Lord and trust in where He's leading you, that will give you some inherent confidence in yourself to be like, okay, like, I have self-worth. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I'm not, you know, a receiver or a provider. I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
How do I fit that within the scope of my future potential spouse or partner?
Okay. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. good. That's mm-hmm. some good advice.
The Brown Scapular is a special Catholic devotional. Invest in a scapular that is as strong as your devotion. At scapulars.com, they use super strong American-made paracord because your scapular should be as strong as your devotion. They also use the finest Australian merino wool that feels like a warm hug from your Heavenly Mother. You'll also find handmade rosaries with our distinctive deliverance cross, Italian-made saint medals, keychains, and jewelry. Visit the link above or below in the description to get yourself one of the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world. When you read scripture, you want to know that you're reading with the mind of the church. Verbum helps you read scripture in the light of tradition by putting the magisterion within reach on all of your devices. Connect your daily scripture readings with the Catechism, Church Fathers, and Catholic commentaries. access a world-class Catholic library on all of your devices. Pray through Scripture with step-by-step instructions on Lectio Divina. Right now, listeners of a Reason for Hope podcast can get started with Verbum with an extra free month. Take your spiritual reading, journaling, and studying to the next level with Verbum. To get started for free, visit the link above or below in the description.
Okay, so whenever it comes to pursuing a woman, I don't know, I guess like what's the best way to navigate that? Just like shoot your shot as soon as it happens? Like should you overanalyze it? Should you discern it at all?
Ooh, this is a good one.
Or
I would say first and foremost, I think just in general, before I get into it, I think, and I've noticed this for Catholic men, especially me and my guy friends talk about it all the time, where I don't think Catholic guys were ever taught how to pursue a woman properly. Or approach a woman properly.
Sure.
By the grace of God, I had a brother and a father that I look up to, and they were kind of able to guide me on this. But I think for the most part, there isn't really a good formation in dating for Catholic men, at least in my experience anyway. A lot of us kind of just fall into these situations, or we kind of, you know, a lot of trial and error, but there isn't really good formation in terms of pursuing a partner or a spouse or a woman. So that's the first and foremost. But I would say in terms of getting to know somebody, I would say do it in the most casual and just friendly way. You want to start off first and foremost as like, hey, you're my future spouse, wife. You want to instead be able
the Lord told me you're my wife.
Yes, I had a vision for married. No, I think you have to have these conversations where it's just seeing the person as a person. I know it sounds so cliche, but really, whether it be like, you know, playing volleyball, for example, or going to like a restaurant or a bar, dinner with friends, you want to make, as a man, you want to make sure the woman feels safe and comfortable. And oftentimes, especially in our secular society, it's not always the case. And maybe oftentimes, we could dive into this too, maybe safety isn't a priority nowadays because of maybe comfort or whatever it might be. That's a deeper conversation to have for another time. But I think for me personally, if you approach the opposite sex, a woman especially as a man, with just safety and comfort and casualness, and obviously not being so leisurely where you're like, oh, not too cool for school, for example, but at least seeing them as a person and approaching that with such kind of an even playing field, that's a better... I guess a better opportunity to get to know somebody.
I agree. I also am a huge advocate for, and you are too, you talked about this off camera, intentionality.
Amen.
And being very clear about your intentions, but also not to the point where you're like super specific about the end outcome, but just being sure if you want to get to know someone for the sake of potentially dating them, like use the word date, right?
Amen.
Like
be
clear and intentional and say, like,
but I think you, so just to, I don't want to assume too much here, right, in conversation, but for me, the way I was always raised by my father and my brother was if you want to go on a date with a woman, you say, hi, I want to take you out on a date.
Period.
Yeah. Nothing crazy, but you have to mention verbatim, I want to take you out on a date.
That's beautiful.
Not like I want to hang some time or get coffee or no, I want to take you out on a date.
Amen.
Because that is intentionality. Because anything else, and not for yourself, but even for the opposite sex, you don't want that other person to assume like, is this a date? Is this not a date? Like you have to be able to at least give them that safety.
Exactly.
And
I will speak for the women. If there's ever a moment when you're confused about that, I wouldn't just sit in that place of confusion. I have clarified. I've asked for clarification.
That's good though. That's really good.
And it takes courage for sure. But just something as simple as like, hey, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by hanging out? Like, is it a date or? And just like asking for clarity. Yeah. I don't think it's that serious. Again, it's not a big deal.
No.
So you can approach it in a casual way. And just like some good guidelines. I honestly love it when, just speaking again as a lady, if you are a man who would like to pursue a woman, like affirming the good in her and then asking like, will you go out on a date with me? Like, hey, like, I love this about you. I would love to get to know you more. Can I take you out on a date?
Yeah.
Right. And that just like lays down the basic expectations of it. It's like, I enjoyed something about you. It's not to say that I'm in love with you. I would like to get to know you more.
But there's potential connection.
Yes, exactly. And then the clarity of, this could possibly lead to us dating, and that's something that we're discerning. But just like those three basic little things. Also, it could be as simple as, I would love to take you out on a date. And that's beautiful.
Just say it. As someone who's...
there's so much relief from that.
I talk about this a lot with after our post-COVID world now. It's like, you have to just say the thing.
Yes.
Just say it. Like,
just say it.
Life is fragile and life is fleeting and God forbid things happen, right? We don't have the time or luxury to be like, oh, well, maybe I'll beat around the bush and get there. Like, no, just say it. I think the woman will, I don't speak for y'all in particular, but I feel like you will at least appreciate the intentionality and direction.
We would.
But I think oftentimes as men, speaking of, as a guy too, it's like you don't want to come off too desperate and too needy. Mm-hmm. So if I just kind of like casually say, hey, by the way, I could go out some, like you want to be a little too cool. And that's great and all if you're maybe a little more younger or more immature in your dating kind of season or whatever. But I think the older you get, the more mature, I would say, you get in your dating season, you realize, no, you want to have intentionality. You want to have a potential partner where you could actually do things and work things and act on things and then pray with in particular, right? Mm-hmm. So I think intentionality includes action. Mm-hmm. I think there has to be something. It's not a passive thing. Especially when you're, as a man, pursuing somebody, it's an active thing. It's not a passive thing.
I'm so glad you said that, because that actually ties into discernment and the importance of active discernment. Because I think a lot of times people are like, okay, well, discernment just means I have to pray about this and wait for an answer.
Oh, man.
But the Lord wants you to step into action and kind of discern through that bold risk of like, okay, I'm going to actively discern this by asking this person out on a date, or I'm going to actively discern if this person is a potential, not spouse right now, mm-hmm. a potential dating partner, by going out on a date. And that is discernment in and of itself. Like, people think that you have to discern the first date, but the first date is discernment. Like, amen. That in and of itself, the second date is discernment. All throughout your relationship, it's discernment.
yeah.
So it's an ongoing process. It's not something that only has to happen like before you say yes to the date.
But also you have to realize too, in order to discern, and going back to action again, mm-hmm. you have to go on that date. And I think going back to analysis paralysis, as a guy who normally is in the pursuer category here of the side of the coin, a lot of guys are like, oh, if I, maybe I'll just like wait until she's available, or maybe they overthink about like, where do I pick the location, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to just act on it and go for it, because one, you might miss the opportunity. Two, you know, you won't be able to discern unless you actually go on the process of discerning. It's like you can't get on, you can't get on the road until you get into the car first, right? You got to be able to get your feet wet in these kind of circumstances and situations. So being able to be in this place where you're able to take that, and it takes a lot of courage too. Oftentimes I think guys need to understand like projection is a possibility in any situation, a first date, third date, fifth date, doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. These things happen, we're human beings. But to be okay with that sense of rejection and be like, okay, this could be potentially an opportunity for rejection, but I did the discernment thing. I dove deep into discernment, and that's a part, even the rejection is a part of discernment in that sense.
Yeah, rejection has the possibility, like you can't have the possibility of love even without the risk of rejection.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way you need to view it. And honestly, again, as a woman, I don't think I need to keep prefacing that, because I think the people know I'm a woman by now.
It's pretty clear, I think. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying.
If you don't know, I am a woman. Yeah. It feels so good to know that I'm worth the risk of possible rejection.
Wow.
Like that really, it's very affirming, and not in a prideful way, but as women, we want to know that we're worthy of that. And so being clear and intentional about that, honestly, it's very gratifying for us, and it's honorable. Like, we have more respect for you because of it. So yeah. That
and being able to see
important.
The woman as not a prize or, you know, as a means to an end, but like, this is a person. So you, I think for me in my dating experience too, when I just see them as a person and not glorify them too much or not fantasize them too much, as I see them as a child of God that also has, you know, has qualms and mistakes. We're all both human beings. That also I realize for women, you know, it makes them comfortable because they're not put on a pedestal too much. And of course, we want to be able to glorify and honor our fellow sisters in Christ for sure. But also if you treat them just like a child of God, that's I think it's less pressure on the woman mm-hmm. to feel like they have to fill this void or fill this need for the man. Something you resonate with.
No, man. Without a doubt. Honestly, all of this, though, it's just so reminiscent of Genesis and like, even the first sin of man, and this is, I think, actually something that John Eldridge
yeah.
speaks about in his book, that the first sin of man was falling into passivity, right? And the first sin of woman was grasping at the apple, right?
Yeah, I remember that,
and
yeah.
that tends to happen, like that sin repeats itself over and over and over again, where men don't pursue us because they've gone passive, and so we grasp. And then we're seeing the repercussions of that in our culture with women who are dressing immodestly or feel the need to do all of these things to gain attention. And
it echoes
the first sin is just over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But no, just like something to think about with dating. I personally don't want to fall into the first sin. Even thinking about that, like, I don't want to be another Eve. Been there, done that. Like, no, thank you. I think our culture already hates Eve enough because of the curses. Yeah, so I don't want to contribute.
But it's beautiful that you bring up Genesis, because that's like obviously the foundation for theology of the body. So we're both big TOB fans, as soon as people have listened so far to these discussions. But also, and I love this, I think I went to Notre Dame a few months ago and Father Mike Schmitz was talking and he gave a talk, I think just about, you know, relationships in general and just but basically he was going into Genesis and the depth of Genesis and how, you know, the whole phrase, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, which is such a beautiful, and I never understood that as a kid. Being an adult and hearing that in that context, especially through his preaching, I was like, oh, wow. Like when men recognize the bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, it's not like, oh, you're my future mother of my kids, and you could make me look good at work or whatever. It's not these weird, like secular, but also like objectifying things. It's like, no, you're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You're a part of me. There's a part of me that we're connected on a spiritual, metaphysical level. And, you know, when you're a man, that's when you recognize that. That changes the game. And you're like, okay, I got to pursue this woman now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Even you saying that as, I can like cry right now, because that's the desire of every woman's heart to hear that acclamation from a man so intentionally to know, like, at last, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, not like, dang girl, you look hot or you look cute.
Well, I mean, you're over there, so I mean, exactly, yeah.
Right.
But at last is so important.
It's looking inward and not like just at her exterior, but it's like, you were what I was missing. And so again, just that intentionality of being bold enough to like exclaim, like, this is something that's good, and you are good, and not a good as in like an object, but you are good.
Inherently good. Yeah.
Inherently good.
I think as a guy, you have to do the inner work first in order to be able to be the Adam, to recognize that Eve.
Yes.
If that makes sense, right? So if you're constantly, if you're looking for value in material things or the worldly things of this world, or, you know, anything outside of the church or outside of God, you're not predisposed to be able to be a good partner in the future. So for me, I'm a big believer in doing the inner work as a man. What does that mean? Intellectually, spiritually, physically, everything. You have to work on yourself. I know it's very cliche to say, oh, date yourself. I don't want that to be so rudimentary, but you have to be able to work on yourself so you could be the partner for that specific person. Because if you want the Catholic partner or spouse, you have to be the best Catholic you can be as well. You can't expect the other person to fill this empty Catholic void in your life. You know, it's a sacrament for a reason. And it's a holy, holy sacrament for a reason, because it takes two people to fulfill that sacrament, right?
Yeah. I don't think people recognize the importance of man being leader and how it affects, because we have this understanding that, like, okay, if a man is a leader, that means I have to do everything he says and I have to just submit and I have no word and I have no free will in this. But it's actually, as you said, you putting in that work gives me the freedom to be woman and to receive and to... going back to the whole grasping thing, like, that is only a ripple effect of the passivity from man. But if you put in that work as a man, it gives us the ability to just enter in freely without feeling the need to, you know,
desperation almost to kind of like grasp for that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So no, I'm just so glad you pointed that out.
No, I love that, because then you're mentioning the passivity of man, which I think is, wow, that could be another podcast in itself, golly.
Yeah.
But I've learned, and just through men's groups and just hanging out with a lot of guy friends of mine, both Catholic and secular, and God bless them, right? But I feel like a true sign of immaturity is, I think, a man who's been enabled too much. And talking about active and passive, the reason why men can't tend to be passive is because they see the world as something that happens to them and not for them. Mm. Or maybe they're a victim of their own circumstances, or they don't take control of their own lives. Regardless, I think immaturity comes from that lack of activity or being active comes from that lack of maturity from a man. And normally, in order to become a mature man, you have to go through the thick of it, experience life, live life, sometimes be broken down a little bit as a man in order to be able to empathize and understand, oh, wow, like, there's more to this life than my own needs and wants. And that's when I think the pivot happens. So I would say in my earlier 20s, just kind of like doing music and having fun, and that's always great and all, but you forget, like, okay, like, what are my goals and expectations? How do I get back to the original vocation and calling that I'm called to be? And a lot of that was, for me, a lot of trial and error, a lot of hills and valleys in my own spiritual and dating life. But you recognize the importance and goodness of the other. And when you're able to work on yourself, break yourself down, come back up. I think women also recognize a man who has been through it and can't persevere and endure. And I think women tend to recognize that and admire that in the other.
Yeah. Scripture says gold is tested in the fire.
Amen.
And I love that, because it doesn't say, like, trash is tested in the fire. Otherwise, you would shrivel up and
exactly.
it wouldn't be tested
yeah,
at
but
all.
Gold is gold.
But gold
yeah.
is tested in the fire, and you can tell when a man has like been through that pruning season, that purification season, where the Lord has tested it.
The refiner's fire. Yeah,
the refiner's fire, and you were refined. And we can tell, and vice versa, I'm sure, when women have also put in the work. But
yeah, but it's such a blessing to kind of have these kind of conversations and just kind of see what the other, because I think oftentimes you, in my experience with content especially, you hear about these, like, you know, these male-driven, you know, brands or these female-driven brands, but they kind of have both a guy and a girl talk about these things openly and not have any like, oh, like, am I going to trigger the person? No, have these open discussions so I can even learn as a guy to better love and discern and pursue a woman. I think it's really great to just kind of hear your perspective. And also just generationally too, and society-wise, there's so many different expectations we have. But if we just have a conversation, human to human, you realize, oh, we're not that different. But also we want to be able to really live and thrive in these roles that we're called to be in by the grace of God, you know?
Amen.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Awesome. I agree.
But yeah, it's been just great to talk to you and hear all your perspective on things. You
know? Likewise. Yeah. It's been so good to pick the masculine brain. It's been awesome.
Amen.
But
thanks
until next time.
Yeah. Cheers.
Once again, thanks for joining us for this episode of A Reason for Hope podcast. Your support helps us carry on the mission of evangelizing to the culture through high quality media and events. If you've been enjoying our content, we ask you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us in this mission. You can do that by clicking the link above or below in the description, which will take you right to our donation page. There, you can choose to make a one-time or a monthly donation. By selecting podcasts in your Apply Your Donation Towards drop-down menu, you can be assured that this gift will go directly to the production of this podcast. Once again, thank you for joining us, and we thank you in advance for your generosity. Until next time, peace.